to be here. Let me just say thank you to Graham and I'm trying to remember your name again. Claire. Why? How do I forget that? Thank you very much for the invitation back here again. It's a joy to be with you. The Lord bless you. And how was the tour around Africa and the world? It's over a year, almost a year now, isn't it? Oh, between you, okay. Nice to tell you, it's a long. I've lost sight of time myself, isn't it? Just want to say thank you very much. And also to say thank you to the church for the privilege of being here today. It's a joy for me. I'm meant to be here in the morning, but the Lord has another. I was told somebody was coming. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but as a result of my not coming here, I was hijacked at another place to minister this morning, which was quite a joy. Amen. I'm going to be very brief. There are instances, there are experiences, there are things that happen, and you just sit down there and wonder. Okay? And that is what has brought this message. If I had come in the morning, the message I'm preaching now is not the one I'm going to preach. I will have preached. But I believe the Lord actually meant it for this evening. And we just want to appreciate God for that. I'll be speaking by the grace of God very briefly on what I have called the greatest mistake. The greatest mistake. Okay, what have I just said? Okay, thank you very much. The greatest mistake. That's what I'll be speaking on tonight. Can we pray? Father, we just want to say thank you. I bless you, Lord, for the opportunity, oh God, to be able to come. Thank you for bringing us here this evening. Myself and my wife, we look forward to coming here. Lord, we bless and honor you. Just we know you're already here with us because your word says wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst of them. We know you're already here with us, oh God. And so just do what you normally do. When you come amongst your people or when your people come to you, you stretch forth your hand to bless them. The children, you stretch forth your hand to bless them. The adults, you open scriptures to them and let them understand. Lord, I pray, oh God, you do what you want to do, oh God. If you want to save tonight, I pray you will do that. If you want to challenge tonight, I pray you will do that. Whatsoever you want to do, this is your church, this is your house, these are your people, oh God. Lord, I pray that you will touch my lips to be able to declare your mystery. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that somebody will say, I've not read the scripture. I normally want to read the word of God. Acts chapter 5, very quickly. Acts chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 to 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own at your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who had this thing. I'm sure somebody will think today I will be sort of speaking on Ananias and Sapphira. That is not it. But I've just read the passage because I'll be making reference to it as we go along. The greatest mistake. Have a relation. That was about maybe a week ago. He was actually buried today. Okay, at 51. Okay, had an accident, left home, and we were told he went to a club and was coming back home, and actually just a collision to a stationary vehicle and died on the spot. He was buried yesterday. Okay, I sat down there and said, I was thinking to myself, I don't know his spiritual condition, but I'm thinking to myself, what is the greatest mistake that anybody can make? What is the greatest mistake that anybody... If I ask you, how many of us have made mistakes in the past? Yes. Oh, yes, I have made a lot of mistakes. Okay? There are some mistakes we make when we were coming here, we got to Hedon Bridge, where we were meant to turn. Okay, I don't know. We must have been enjoying ourselves in the distance. We have passed the this. I said, Mommy, you know what? I think that is where we should have branched off to come to Penrith. It was a mistake. Okay, we had maybe about 5 minutes to be able to get to the and turn back. It was a mistake. But some mistakes are not so costly. They are not expensive at all. Okay, we lost some time. I'm sure we burnt a little bit of fuel as well. It was a mistake that was not so costly. But there are some mistakes that are very, very expensive and costly. Okay, and that's why I'm speaking tonight, the greatest mistake. But you'll be asking me, what is the greatest mistake? And that's what we want to look at. One of the things you and I do is make mistakes. I've already asked this evening, and quite a number of us, we have very lovely people that have never made any mistake in their lives. The Lord bless you. I pray you don't make mistake at all. But I want to hold my hands up. I've made several mistakes. A mistake can be defined as an action or opinion that is wrong. Okay? They are quite, that is myself defining mistake in a very crude way. Crudely defined as an action or opinion that is wrong. Okay, you are meant to be going on a straight path, and what you decided to do is turn to either to the left or to the right. And by the time you get to the end, I've made a mistake. I'm not going in the right direction. I discover that there are so many people in the Bible that made mistakes. So many people from the book of Genesis to Revelation. There are so many people that made mistakes. Okay, one of the people I find in the Word of God that made a mistake was Eve. Eve made a mistake of actually talking to the serpent. It was a mistake, okay, and that mistake was very, very costly indeed. I also find out that Adam made a mistake in listening to his wife. Those of us that are married, it's good to listen to your wife anyway. Okay, but we've got to be able to discern when we need to follow what they ask us to do. Amen. I hope wives are not listening. Saul, the king of Israel, made a mistake in trying to kill David. It was a mistake. It was a mistake, a serious mistake. And as I said, we find a lot of people. The passage I read to us, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, made a mistake by telling lies. Okay, we were at the city center, one Saturday every month. We normally go to the city center for witnessing. We were there yesterday, and one of the things we normally use a practical way of witnessing. We ask them, are you familiar with the Ten Commandments? They say, yes, we are familiar with the Ten Commandments. What does it say? I can't remember. So, okay, thou shalt not tell lies. Okay, that is beautiful. We normally ask, have you told any lie at any time? They say, yes. It was only, okay, if I tell a lie, what will you call me? They say, a liar. All right? Okay, and we just continue. By the time we, have you ever stolen anything? Because what happened is that if you are going to give the grace of God to somebody, the person you are giving it to must know that he has actually done something that is wrong. If you give the grace of God to somebody that doesn't see the need of it, he's not going to value it. And that is why we normally teach our brethren to approach it that way. Okay, and we found it quite very thrilling, okay, and enjoyable. Somebody, one of the people came to one of the brothers and said, you know what, I've just shut down somebody at the metro center, okay, and here am I am at the city center, and I found another group of people again, okay, talking about Jesus. He said, I want to shut you, I've come to argue, okay, and the man that was, I'm sorry, I don't argue. I'm just giving you the love of Jesus Christ, okay? But what I'm saying is this. Ananias and Sapphira, okay, told a lie, okay? And that lie was very, very costly. That lie actually ended the alarm. I'm asking, why did that happen? You know why? Because the church was just starting. If the foundation, the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundation of the church was being built. The foundation of the church cannot be built on lie. Okay? The Bible says, when people saw that, you know what? That group, if you are going to be part of them, you have to know what you are doing. Okay? You cannot just do anything you want to do. And what I'm saying this evening is this. The greatest mistake. The greatest mistake. Ananias and Sapphira actually made a great mistake, just as many of us are making mistakes today. But what is the greatest mistake? I just want to look at very briefly, what are some of the reasons why people make mistakes? What are some of the reasons? Number one, it could be because of carelessness. At times, people are just careless. They're just careless. Okay, and they make mistakes. People are just careless because of carelessness. I'm sure you'll be able to relate to what I'm talking about. They're just careless keeping something somewhere. You discover in the house you have various things that needed to go into, for somebody, maybe one of the children or the father of the house, just place something there, and you are just coming and you trip over it. Okay, you be, why did I do that? We just have two of our grandchildren with the mother. They came, okay, because they were going to stay in a particular. What we have two gates, okay. And what I did, because I don't want any of them to wake up in the night wanting to go to the toilet, and before you know what was happening, they found themselves on the floor, okay, at the bottom. I put a gate so that, because I don't want a mistake to happen. Some mistakes can be very, very costly. What are some of the reasons that people make mistakes? Because of carelessness. Number two, it could be because they are in a hurry. People make mistakes because they are in a hurry. I remember in those days when I used to write exam, if you are writing fast, what happened? You are likely to make very grievous mistake. In the book of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2, the word of God says, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. You can be in a hurry. And as a result of that, you make some mistakes. Number three, what are some of the reasons why people make mistakes? Because as human beings, we are imperfect. Okay? You may try not to make mistakes, but you just discover that it's difficult and impossible to be because we are human beings. Number four, why do people make mistakes? We make mistakes when we are tired. Okay, you are tired. Maybe you are feeling sleepy and they are asking questions or they are asking you to do something. You are not able to do it. You make mistakes. Okay, I've made some serious mistakes when I was tired. Okay, and so I don't want people to chat with me when I'm tired. Number five. What are some of the reasons that people make mistakes? Because people are under pressure. When people are under pressure, they make mistakes. Okay, and I know there are quite a number of pressures around. Financial pressure, people make mistakes. Marital pressure, emotional pressure. When people are under pressure, they make mistakes. Okay, and so, that is some of the reasons. And number six, what are some of the reasons that people make mistakes? Some people make mistakes because of inadequate information. If you don't have adequate information to be able to make a wise judgment, you are likely to make mistakes. Okay, in the law court, at times they call something miscarriage of justice, isn't it? Because they may not have adequate information. And once they now have the information, they say, you know what? Let's have a retrial. Okay? They have something they call a retrial. So, there are quite a number of reasons why people make mistakes. But the question is, what is the greatest mistake? What is the greatest mistake? And that is what we want to look at today. Let me say this, that irrespective of who we are, or what our family background is, every one of us is born a sinner. It does not matter whether you are from the north, or you are from the east, or you are from the south, or you are from the west. It does not matter, okay, what race you are, what color you are. The Bible says every one of us is born a sinner. The book of Psalms, Psalm 51 and verse 5. Psalm 51 and verse 5. David, by the Spirit of God, says, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Every one of us is born in sin. Every one of us is born a sinner. Nobody is born a saint. Nobody is born a saint. But I am asking the question tonight. What is the greatest mistake? And we have it in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Again, actually talking and saying the same thing. It is one thing, brethren, to be born in sin. It is another thing to be living in sin. It is one thing to be born in sin. It is another thing to be living in sin. Let me tell you, most of us, myself, including myself, were born in poverty. Okay? I was born in poverty. Okay, but we are no longer living in poverty today. I'm saying we can be born a sinner, but we don't have to live in sin. We can be born in the village. Okay? In fact, the village where I was born, those days there was no pipe-borne water. There was no electricity. The only electricity we enjoyed was the moonlight. In those days, I'm sure they now have electricity. I don't know whether they have pipe-borne water. You know, you want me to tell you something? I walked not very far from that, but why I did not venture actually visiting the place is what I don't know up till today. And I've been back to Nigeria several times. I've never been able to be back to where I was born, just to be able to see it. But it was a little village. Okay? I'm sure, how many of us were born in Penrith here? Just a few, isn't it? Okay? Many of us were born in the village. Many of us were born as somewhere else. Okay? But we are living in Paris today. We can be born a sinner. But what I'm saying, we don't have to live in sin. There is no reason for anybody born in sin to continue to live in sin. Can I give you 5 reasons why you should not live in sin? I'm going to give us very quickly 5 reasons why we should not live in sin. You know why you and I should not live in sin? Because Jesus Christ already died for your sins. Jesus Christ already died for your sins. He died for my sins. We've been singing that and rejoicing in what the Lord Jesus has done for you and for myself. That's why we have every reason not to live in sin, because somebody has already paid the price. The price that is just like there was a day I was at the supermarket, and while I was trying to pay, a brother, a sister actually came behind me, but the Spirit of the Lord just said to me, okay, just pay for her. Okay, and I said, okay, just move your this thing, and I pay for her. Okay, but it would be wrong for that sister to, after I've paid for it, to then tell the cashier, you know what, I've got to pay for my, because it has already been paid for. There was a situation like that. I don't know whether this was a legend or whether it was a true story. In the village in those days, a man was going to the farm and carrying a load on his head. And a man, somebody that actually knew him, saw him, and stopped the car. Come in into the van. The man came in, but instead of putting the load on his head, okay, down in the van, okay, he put, you know, back in the village, what you do when you put loads on your head. In fact, you can even balance it well. That I still know how to do it very well, isn't it? You can balance it without actually touching it. And so the man was still carrying the load while sitting in the car. The driver said, the friend said, put your load. I said, no, I don't want to burden the van. You are already carrying me. I don't want you to carry. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Okay? Jesus has already paid the price. I don't need to pay the price anymore. The price of my sin has already been paid for. Another reason why you and I should not live in sin. The number one reason is that Jesus paid the price. Number two, why is it that yourself and myself should not live in sin? Because living in sin will affect your fellowship and relationship with God. Living in sin, if I continue to live in sin, what is going to happen is that it will affect my fellowship. It will affect my relationship with God. Okay, you know what? God made you and myself, okay, to have fellowship, for fellowship with God. The Bible says, in the cool of the day, God will come to Adam and Eve, okay, and actually just chat with them, and actually just fellowship with them. You know, God is longing for that. In the scriptures, God has so many, quite a few friends. Abraham was one of them. The Bible says the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was so much, and God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And but in the on his way down there, he decided to branch and see his friend. He never gave a notice to the friend that he was coming. Maybe there was no royal airmail in those days for him to maybe there was no mobile in those days to have actually said, Abraham, are you there? He said, yes, I'm coming just to visit you. I'm going somewhere. But he just knocked at the door just to be able to branch to see Abraham. He was on his way to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God desired to have fellowship. Abraham was a friend of God. Okay? Moses was a friend of God. You know what Jesus has done for yourself and myself? He has actually brought us into friendship with God. And so, if I continue to live in sin, what is going to happen? That fellowship, that relationship will be affected. And that is why, one reason that you and I should not live in sin. Number three reason is that living in sin will affect you. Living in sin will affect you. Living in sin will affect you. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 34, the Bible says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When you are talking about reproach, none of us actually like a reproach, isn't it? No, we don't like it at all. But the word God says, sin. Okay, and I'm saying that number three reason why yourself and myself should not live in sin is that sin has a way of affecting us. The Bible says sin is a reproach to any people. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 25 says that your sins and iniquities withhold good things from you. Sin has a way of affecting you. If you live in sin, it will affect you spiritually and it can affect you eternally. And that's why we don't have to live in sin. When you live in sin, what happens is that your peace is taken away. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. The word of God actually talks that we have peace with God. Coming to Jesus, through Jesus, we have peace with God. And so, when we continue to live in sin, what is going to happen is that we will be affected in a way, and it's in a negative way. Number four, another reason why yourself and myself should not live in sin is that living in sin will not only affect you, it will affect the generations to come after you. Okay, your children and your children's children. And so it's quite very, very dangerous. There, I've seen people in the Word of God, okay, that what they did, okay, affected the generations after them. The Bible talks about people actually bearing the curse to fourth and fifth generation. But thank God, the Bible also tells us that God's mercy also lasts for 1,000 generations. What I'm saying, coming to know the Lord has a way of affecting the people that are coming behind you. Okay? And living in sin also has a way of affecting generations that are coming behind. And so, living in sin will not only affect you, will not only affect me, it will affect generations to come. And that's why, another reason why you and I should not live in sin. Number five, it is dangerous to live in sin because you may die in sin. It is dangerous to live in sin because you may die in sin. I have somebody at times, you discover that, oh, I'm young. Allow me to just enjoy my good time. This particular message is quite very dear to my heart. Because this year is 50 years when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I have this year is my birthday as well. you may want to sing happy birthday to me later on. 1965, that was when I said, Jesus, come into my heart. Sin, okay, I can tell you a little bit of what actually happened. Thank God for men and women that work with young people. I was a teenager, maybe 17 or 18 or thereabout at the time. But we have a young man that took interest in ministering to young people. At times, as I told you, in the village, there was no electricity. Once we came back from the farm, and we've eaten in our different homes, we just run to him, to his place. And his own accommodation, his own living accommodation, was actually in the center of the community. We run there at times. He would tell us folk story. At times, we run around, okay, trying to play hide and seek, Okay, run into the dark area from the moon. And I just look back now. But on this particular occasion, on this particular day in 1965, just before we had evening service every day. Okay, just before the evening service, the man said, let's go to the church and pray. Okay, and every one of us, we try to outrun one another. We go to the church. Up till today, I cannot tell you what the man said when we go to the church. But as soon as he said, let us pray, and we knelt down to pray. Okay, what happened? I just saw my life open before me. Okay, and a heavy load. And that's why I tell people, the load of sin is very heavy. The load of sin is very, very heavy. And it's not something you can remove by yourself. I tell you what I'm talking about, I know it very well. Because on this head, I have carried loads on it. Heavy loads, light loads. I have carried loads on it. And so, but on this, and once you carry loads, you can take it off. You can remove it. But on this day, sorry, am I too fast? Because I can be excited about what God has done. If I'm too fast, just wave. Because I want to be able to get what I'm saying. But on this day, okay, I thought it was a joke. I wanted to shake this load off, but it could not be shaken off. Okay, I wanted to remove it. I couldn't remove it. But it was pressing down. I was trying to manage it. It got to a point, I started to cry. I was crying profusely. I want the load off at all costs, but it could not go. Until a time came, I said, Lord Jesus, please help me. As soon as I said that, I don't know how it happened, okay, the load was pushed off. And that is why I don't want anybody to make the greatest mistake. Okay? You can be born in sin. That is not the greatest mistake. You can live in sin. That is not still the greatest mistake. But if you die in sin, that is the greatest mistake anybody can make. The greatest mistake. We have people that have made the mistake. What happened to that man that had an accident? I'm just looking at it now. I don't know whether he got to a point of giving his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man that was, is a relation of my, is an in-law to my wife. Okay? And he's somebody, we live in the same community. But as I'm talking to you today, lost eternity. It's an eternity lost. Okay? And the load of sin is very, very heavy. The greatest mistake is not to be born in sin. The greatest mistake is not to live in sin. The greatest mistake is to die in sin. Why is it then that people die in sin? Okay? I have another 5 points very quickly. Okay? Can you give me 10 more minutes? And I'll be done. Why is it that people die in sin? 5 reasons very quickly. There may be more. Number one, they assume they will live long. Isn't it? Okay? Okay, when am I going to die? Who wants to tell me? Do you know it? Eh? When God says, okay, thank you very much. I don't, okay? Tell me, when is God going to call you home? When he calls you. Do you know the date? No. Okay, but what happened is that some people tell you, I'm young. People assume they are going to live very long. This man I'm talking about was just 51. Well, he was the last born in the family. Okay? The older brothers and older sisters are still alive. Okay? People assume they are going to live long. I'm asking, why is it that people die in sin? They assume they are going to live long. They assume they are going to live long. There is no guarantee of a long life to someone who is not a believer. There is no guarantee. Who is not a Christian? Psalm 91 verse 16 says, it is only a believer that has a guarantee. The word of God says in Psalm 91 verse 16, he said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. People assume they are going to live long. And that is why people die in sin. Oh, don't worry, I still have quite a number of years ahead of me to go because I am young. People assume it is older people that should die first. That is older people, you know what? You are 70, 80, I think it's good you go and leave the younger one. People assume they are going to live very long. People assume they are going to live very long. That is why people die in sin. Why is it that people die in sin? Number two, they make a mock of sin. They make a mock of sin. What do I mean by that? They call sin fun. It's fun. It's fun. Sin is fun. And the enticement of fun deadens their sensitivity to God. Okay? It's fun. It's fun. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Number three, why is it that people die in sin? They do not know the way out of sin. Some people think the way out of sin is to come to the church. I'm not saying it's good to come to church. If you don't come to church, you may not be able to hear what you are hearing now. People think, oh, you know what? It's good to come to church. That is the way out of sin. But brothers and sisters, that is not the way out of sin. The way out of sin is to ask Jesus. The word of God says, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You come to a point in your life, you say, Lord Jesus, I cannot help myself. I know that I'm a sinner. Just as the word of God says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you come to a point, you say, you know what? I can no longer. Lord Jesus, help me. Just as I did in 1965. The load of sin is very, very heavy. Why do people die in sin? As I said, some people think the way out of sin is to come to church. Some people think the way out of sin is to be religious. Just be religious. In fact, quite a number of people are trying to combine a lot of. There is one they call Baha'i faith, isn't it? They try to combine all the faiths together. And you know, well, by the time we combine them together, we'll arrive at a whole. Friend, Jesus is the way out of sin. The Bible says, John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Number four. Why is it that people die in sin? Because they die suddenly. They die suddenly. Just as the man I was telling you about went out when he drove out of the house. Okay, I'm sure he will have said, told the wife, has a wife and five children. I've told the wife, you know what, see you back. Was coming back from the club at about 1 a.m. in the morning. Okay, didn't know that there was a standing van on the road that needed to be towed away. Okay, but he just careered and plowed into it, and that was it. Okay, and people die suddenly. Why do people die in sin? People die suddenly. People die suddenly. David actually said it all in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 3. Says, there is but one step between me and death. There is one step between me and death. People die suddenly. The greatest mistake is to be born in sin, live in sin, and to die in sin. That is the greatest mistake. Okay? All of us are born in sin. Many of us live in sin until we give our heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But brethren, the greatest mistake is to die in sin. If you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and you are here today, it's another opportunity. I did that 50 years ago, 1965. I remember it now like yesterday. It's something I can never forget. Okay? It was something that changed my life completely. Because I have a whole life ahead of me. What I wanted to do was finish whatsoever I was finishing and get out of the village, get out of my parents' distance, and did whatsoever I wanted to do, enjoy life. Okay? But thank God that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a choice today to stop living in sin, because people who live in sin may die in sin suddenly. You don't have to die in sin suddenly. Can we just bow down our heads? Just bow down our heads and yes, we can. All of us, as I've said, are born in sin. Many of us lived in sin. But thank God, many have given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If the cause will come today, we know where we are going to. Okay, but if you are here today, you needed to... The Lord has directed my feet here this evening. Okay, if I had come in the morning, this is not the message I would have preached. It would have been another message completely. But this was a message I was burdened with. We came back from the church. By the time we got home was after 2. That was when I sat down and what I'm preaching to you now was coming to me. Okay, I believe it's meant for somebody here today. If you are here today and you know you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not said yes, you have not asked Jesus to forgive you your sin, okay? You have not really accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You have an opportunity to be able to do that today, to be able to do that this evening. This is your opportunity. I plead with you, don't allow this opportunity to be able to pass you by. What we are going to do with you is stand with you, pray with you, okay, and encourage you in the way of the cross. I just want to give an appeal, an opportunity to maybe someone, one or two, I don't know, okay, you may be here, somebody must have invited you here, okay, you are not here by chance, God meant it for you. Okay, and you are here. You want to say yes to the Lord? Just lift your hand, lift your finger to heaven. Lift your finger to God and so that we can pray with you. If you want to say yes to God today, okay, just lift your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. We'll be here to be able to just encourage you, pray with you, and set you on your way. Is there anybody that will want to do that today? Is there anybody amongst us that is here? You know if the call should come today. Okay? As I said, the greatest mistake is not to be born a sinner. The greatest mistake is not to even live in sin. But the greatest mistake is to die in sin. Okay? I pray that the Lord will bless you. Okay, if you want to say yes to the Lord, just lift up your hand so that we can pray with you. Is there anyone? Anyone amongst us today that will want to take that bold step? Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to pray now. Praise God for... Have you enjoyed the message? Have you enjoyed it?
Yes.
You know what? Even if you have not enjoyed it, I've enjoyed it myself. Amen. Because I'm preaching to myself. Okay? This was what happened 50 years ago. And so this whole year is my birthday. I'm just going to pray now. And Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your word to us today, O God. The greatest mistake is not to be born in sin. The greatest mistake is not even to live in sin. But the greatest mistake is to die in sin. I just pray, oh God, that your word today, thank you for every one of us that is here today. I just pray by the power of your word, oh God, that you will help us to continue to live a life that is worthy of our calling. Those of us that have given, all of us that have given our heart to you, oh God, that will continue to worship you and serve you the way we know how. Thank you, Lord, for those members of our family, Lord, our friends, co-workers that have not known you. I just pray, Lord, that you will continue to help us to be able to extend the hand of fellowship to them so that they will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just feel like praying. Is there anybody that is sick, is not well? You want, because that is one of the things Jesus did on the cross for us. If you are sick in your body, okay, I want you to be bold. Just put your hand where that is right now. Put your hand, lay your hand, okay. The word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, by the stripes of Jesus we are made whole. Just lay your hand on where it is, because we are Christians. These are one of the promises we have in the word of God. The Bible says, is anyone sick amongst you? Let him call the elders of the church. The book of James chapter 5. Let them lay hands on them. The Bible says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Father, with your word makes us to understand, Lord Jesus, that we should pray for the sick. And if we pray for the sick and we believe, Lord, that they will be healed. We stand on the promises of your word, O God. And we pray, Lord, that you will, your hand, O God, your people are already touching wherever they are. I pray, Lord, I know those hands right now, that the healing virtue will flow in this meeting tonight in the name of Jesus. I pray that the power of the Almighty God, Lord, will descend to begin to heal right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will touch every one of us, O God, that is here tonight. You see your children, you see your people, you love them, you want them to be well, because your word makes us understand that it is your will that we should be in health. We declare that, O God, over this congregation tonight, that the healing virtue will flow in the name of Jesus. The power of God is here to walk, is here to touch. Lord, we receive that tonight. I receive your healing for every one of us that is here tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We just bless you. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every soul here tonight. Plead the blood of Jesus, the blood that flows from Calvary, the blood that is bringing healing, the blood that is bringing salvation, the blood that is there to be able to talk, to be able to make whole, to be able to heal. Lord, will flow tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I just bless you and honor you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen.